his family service for the guests. What that means is the last Sunday of every month, we give our kids' teams a break. And we worship Jesus together with our kids. And although they get to experience worship downstairs and they get to receive the Word of God downstairs, because Pastor Callie and her team down there are second to none. They are the best of the best of the best. There's just something about generational, multi-generational worship. Amen? And we get excited about that. So what that means is Pastor Dave gets challenged with adjusting his messages to fit everybody. And we have fun. We do a thing called Bible Head, which downstairs in kids ministry, one of their major goals is to teach biblical literacy. So when they graduate out of kids ministry, they will know the books of the Bible and how to navigate the Word of God efficiently and effectively. And so we will do a thing called Bible Head, and we're just going to have a great time. But before we do that, since it is family service, I just want to pray over the families, if that's okay, because the enemy, as we all know, his one job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is full on, full court press trying to destroy families. So we're going to pray a blessing over the families today. If you would indulge me and just bow your hearts with me, let's just pray. Oh, dear Jesus, we love you. And we're so thankful for your goodness and faithfulness to us, God. And Father God, we thank you for your gift, the family. Thank you for the people that you have placed in our lives to love, to protect, to encourage, and to walk through life with. Lord, we bring our families before you right now. Every parent, every child, every grandparent, every brother and sister, you know our homes better than anyone else. You see the struggles that we carry, the prayers that we've prayed, and the hopes that we hold for our loved ones. Lord, I pray for marriages, the husbands and wives, that they would hold on to each other, even in the hard times, especially in the hard times. Teach us to forgive quickly, to listen well, and to love the way that you love, patiently, faithfully, and unconditionally. Heavenly Father, I pray for our children and I lift them up to you. They are a gift to us from you. And I pray, Lord, that you would surround them with your protection. Guide their steps. And let them know deep in their hearts that they are chosen, that they are loved, and they are never alone. And when the world tries to confuse them, remind them of who they are in you. And as our children are back in school or getting ready to go back to school, our teens and our young people, the young adults going to college, I ask for your special protection over them. Give them confidence to learn as they learn and to learn. Courage to stand firm in their faith and kindness to shine through them of your love to others and protect them from harm, from negative influences and discouragement. Heavenly Father, surround them with teachers and friends and mentors, Lord God, that will encourage their growth and speak life into them. Help them excel in wisdom and knowledge, as well as character and integrity. And I pray for parents and grandparents that you would give them the strength when they feel tired, wisdom when they don't know what to do, and peace when they're tempted to worry. Help us to see them for who they are. Help us to set a kind of example that points the next generation towards you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for our families that are hurting, those walking through sickness or loss or division. Bring your healing. Bring your comfort. Bring your restoration. And where there are walls, God, tear them down. Where there are wounds, pour your healing over them. Cover our homes with your presence. Let our houses be filled with laughter and forgiveness and joy and prayer. Guard us from the enemy's attacks. Remind us that we don't fight these battles alone. You go before us. You stand beside us. And you hold us together. Lord, I pray that you would just let our families shine and reflect your presence. Let our houses be filled with your presence. And may our children and our grandchildren rise up to follow you because of the seeds of faith planted in their hearts today. We give you our families, Jesus. They are yours. Lead us. Bless us. And hold us close to you. Today, tomorrow, generations to come. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray these things. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. Oh, man. God is good. All the time. Oh, my gosh. I remember doing that when I was a kid in church. Oh, that is awesome. Well, did everybody get the little bag that they were supposed to get? Did anybody not get a bag this morning when they came in? Everybody got one. Excellent. A little treat, but here's what we're going to do. I was trying to think of what, for those that are guests, let me give you this. We are in a series going through Proverbs. Now we're not going verse by verse, going theme by theme. And today we're in chapters 8 and 9. And I was like, Lord, how do I illustrate to the kids and to everybody. And so here's what I want us to do. Picture this with me. Okay. Put your imagination caps on. Okay. And I want you to picture this. If you have to close your eyes and picture this. Okay. You're walking through a busy county fair. The music is pounding from giant speakers all over. Mixed with distant screams of people riding Ferris wheel roller coasters. Neon lights are flashing from all the rides, the spinning and glowing against the night sky, pulling your eyes in dozens of different directions, all at once. Everywhere you turn, something is competing for your attention. The smell of fresh kettle corn and caramel corn. as well as the wonderful things like cotton candy, funnel cakes. Woo-hoo! They all drift through the air so thick it almost pulls you towards the food stands. You catch the sizzle of corn dogs hitting hot oil and the sweet smell of fried dough dusted in powdered sugar, making you hungry, huh? And the salty butter melted over buckets of popcorn. And all around you, people are laughing and shouting. Kids are running past with sticky hands and wide eyes, clutching giant stuffed animals that they just won at the game booth. Vendors are waving their arms and calling out, step right up and win a prize. Try out your luck. Others are shouting about the best deal, the tastiest food, and the most thrilling rides. You can eat your popcorn while you're doing this. And it's a swirl of sound and smell and sight. So much noise, distraction, and it's almost overwhelming. I hate going to the fair for that. But right in the middle of it all, two voices rise. And they call out to you. And at first, they sound just like more vendors in the crowd. One promising something exciting and fun. The other offering something different, something quieter, but stronger. Both are calling out to you. Both are inviting. And both are competing for your attention. But here's the difference. Here's the difference between the two voices. One is offering life, and the other is leading to destruction. Excuse me. In Proverbs chapter 8, it lays out the wisdom's invitation. Wisdom is like the vendor. You almost missed it first, right? She's not using flashing lights or cheap tricks to get your attention. She stands at the gates, at the crossroads where everyone passes by. And her call is steady. Her call is clear and her call is honest. She doesn't need to lure you with gimmicks, because what she has to offer is the real deal. She set a table for us. Not with junk food, not with those kinds of things. But a table with a feast that satisfies. Her table is filled with things like truth, understanding, and the fear of the Lord. She promises life and security and blessing to those who sit down with her. And she isn't hiding it, right? She calls out in the open for everyone to hear. But folly is there too. Right across the way. And she's got her own table. In Proverbs chapter 9, we see that folly has a disguise. And at first glance, folly looks just as good as wisdom. Just as good. Her booth is decorated, her words are smooth, and her promises are flashy. And she shouts, "Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is delicious." She's loud. She's bold. And she is extremely persuasive. But what she doesn't tell you is what's behind the curtain. What she offers looks sweet in the moment, but it's poisoned. Her table leads to emptiness, regret, and even death. In Proverbs chapter 9, Solomon says, her guests are in the depths of the grave. But before we get too much further, what is folly? Do we ever use that word anymore? You guys use that in your everyday talk? Oh, that's folly. What is folly? Anybody know? Can somebody give me a definition of folly? Say it again. Temptation. Okay. Somebody else. Definition of folly. Just take a stab at it. Foolishness. What else? Silliness. Anyone else? We got on this side. How about this side represent? Say it again. Naivete. Okay. Those are all great answers. Here's folly. You ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. Folly is ignoring God's instructions and doing what feels good now. Folly is choosing the easy way instead of the right way. Folly is taking shortcuts that seem right but lead to trouble. And folly is thinking you know better than God or the wise people in your life. That's folly. Let me give you some examples for kids, for children. Here's an example. It's okay to lie so you won't be in trouble. For teenagers, everyone else is doing it. Don't be boring or lame. Don't be that guy or that girl. For adults, you work hard. Go ahead and cross the line. You deserve it. And for my seniors, you've done enough. Just stop growing spiritually and just coast to the finish line. In Proverbs 9, King Solomon, he gives us this picture of folly, right? And it's like this loud, pushy woman who tries to get you to make a quick, thoughtless decision. And she offers something that looks good, but will hurt you in the end. And the problem with folly is that folly doesn't look dangerous, right? It's not like this cliff and it's just there with caution, caution, you'll die. You know, it doesn't look dangerous. She sits in the same place as wisdom, uses some of the same words, and offers something that sounds so good. But her promises are like a shiny fishing lure with a hidden hook. Folly says, do what's easy now and don't think about the future. Wisdom says, do what's right now so that you can live in joy later. And here's the crazy thing about it, and I thought about this a lot. Folly and wisdom are not some weird abstract thought, right? They're not abstract. They're not this idea that just floats out there. They're real influences that show up in your everyday life and your everyday choices. And here's the thing about wisdom and folly. Wisdom isn't just whispering from a distance, hoping that you somehow stumble across her. She's not hiding in a library with dusty books, waiting for only the really spiritual people to come and check her out and find her. Wisdom, my family, wisdom is calling your name. Wisdom is calling your name loud enough to be heard in the middle of a busy, messy, ordinary life. Which brings us to the first truth that we see here, and that's wisdom is personal. And she is calling your name. So we have our first Bible head challenge. Where's my kids? If you are pre-K through fourth grade, you can be in this. Get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out, because guess what? I got candy. Yeah. Oh, man. I need some help. I need help. Taylor, will you come and help me? Taylor, will you come and help me? Yeah. Lennox, will you come help me? Come on. I need you to stand on the first step facing out. First step. Okay, here's that. You guys are going to find the first boy. You're the first boy, you're the first girl that gets their Bible heads on. I'm going to follow up these steps. Here we go. Here it is. Ready? Don't put it up, Craigie. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Ready? Go. First boy with their Bible head on, first girl with their Bible head on gets a candy bar. Boom, there's one right there. That's the first boy. Where's the girl? Need a girl? Come on, girls, represent. You guys are usually faster than the boy. Where we go? Where we go? Oh, right there. Go give him the candy. You got to go. Okay, you guys hang tight. You're going to help me, okay? Just you sit down there. You can sit down on the front row if you want. You don't have to stand there. Because you're more handsome than me. I don't want you to stand up here. Okay? Let's read it together. Proverbs chapter 8. Here it goes. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, she cries aloud. The wisdom here is pictured like a strong, trusted friend, right? Someone who's not timid, not afraid, and definitely not hard to find. She's steady and confident, and she knows exactly what to say when you're not sure what to do. She's not playing hide and seek with you. She's not murmuring under her breath, hoping that you catch a word. She's standing out where everyone can hear her calling your name. Kids, it's like the friend on the playground who yells, "Watch out!" before you trip over the swing. See, your friend's not trying to ruin your fun. They're trying to keep you safe so you can keep playing, right? God's wisdom isn't locked away in a Bible college classroom or reserved for preachers up on a stage. It's for every single one of us, whether you're 5 or 105. Wisdom is calling to the kid who is deciding whether to share their toys or keep them all to themselves. Or to the student who is trying to figure out who to hang out with, what to post on social media, and how to handle things like peer pressure. The young adult who's making career moves or choosing who to date and how to set healthy boundaries. And to the parent that's trying to raise kids in a world that is upside down. And let's not leave out the grandparents who are wondering how to pass their faith and wisdom on and love on to the next generation. See, my family, it's the question isn't, is God speaking to us? Because He is. The real question is, am I listening? But here's the catch, right? There's always a catch. Not every voice you hear is God's wisdom. Some voices sound just as convincing, but instead of leading you to life, they lead you to trouble. That brings us to the next point, that folly looks similar, but leads to pain. Next Bible head challenge. Come on. I'm just going to hand you these, and then you can let them pick if you want or whatever. We're going to go the next boy and the next girl. You choose the boy, you choose the girl this time, okay? We're going to fly. All right, here it is. You guys ready? Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Proverbs 9, 13 through 18. First boy, first girl. Boom, shakalaka. Oh, we got one. Boom, right there. And we got the girl over. You got it? We got it? Okay. Sweet. We got more. I promise. All right, you can just go have another seat. Thank you, guys. You guys are amazing. It's like Vanna White. Let's read it. Chapter 9. It says, folly is an unruly woman. It is? That's a good choice, unruly woman. She sits at the door of her house, calling out to those who pass by, but little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Again, here's where it gets tricky, right? Because folly doesn't look like danger. We've talked about that. It doesn't look dangerous. She sits in the same place as wisdom and uses the same invitation. Let all who are simple come in here. She appeals to the same audience, but with drastically different results. Because folly, she offers shortcuts. The quick thrill. The easy answer. And the impulsive yes. But in the end, her house is full of regret. Her promises are bait with a hook. And this is why it's so critical that we don't make decisions based solely on what feels good or what looks good in the moment, right? Think of life like this. Think of life like a path through a big, busy park. Not that we have one in Conrad, but if we had one, and along the way, there's two people, and they're standing at the fork of a trail, right? One is wisdom, and she's smiling, she's calm, and pointing to the path that looks steady and safe. But it takes a little longer and might require a little bit of effort to climb a small hill. And the other person is folly. Loud, flashy, and promising a shortcut through the woods. Hey, Phil, there's a little bit of an echo. I don't know if it's just where I'm standing. Can you guys hear it? Echo. Okay. Echo, go, go. Right? The path looks fun, exciting at first, bright flowers, beautiful soft grass, maybe even some candy scattered along the way. And you think, man, this is easy street. I'm going to get to my point faster if I go this way. So you take folly's path. And at first it's thrilling, right? And if you like parkour, you're dodging branches and you're jumping over streams and the feel of the rush and the excitement is hitting you. But soon the path starts to get thorny and dark and even confusing, and you stumble and you get cut and you get bruised and you get scratched, and before you know it, you're stuck. Far from where you wanted to be, wishing that you had chose the other path. And that's the challenge. Sometimes the right choice doesn't feel exciting or glamorous, right? Wisdom may ask you to wait. Wisdom may ask you to work a little bit or say no when everything inside of you wants to say yes. But that's exactly why it's called wisdom. It's not always about the feel-good moments. It's about what leads to life and what leads to peace and joy that lasts forever. Because sometimes the wise choice doesn't feel good at first. Let's be real for just a second. And adults, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. Wisdom doesn't always feel exciting in life, does it? Is every time that you have experienced wisdom in your life, has it always been, woohoo? No. It's not always about what feels good in the moment. Regardless of what society tells you. It's about what leads to life and peace, right? But here, you know the tension. There's this tension that you want. And, I'm getting into my own world. You want to binge that last season of NCIS. But you know you got to get up to work at 6 a.m. Anybody with me? Or you want to hang out with your friends. But you have a paper that's due tomorrow. Or homework or whatever. Both options feel right in different ways. Both have an appeal. But only one of them is wise. And here's the truth. Because folly, oh my gosh, folly offers this short-term high, right? Wisdom offers a long-time reward. And it brings us to our next Bible head challenge. I love these kids. Here's what I would challenge you adults. You don't get a candy bar. Okay? We just want to sugar up your kids and send you home with them. But you don't get a candy bar. But I want to see you guys try to find this next one faster than the kids do. Okay, adults? You can do the Bible head. We'll recognize you. We'll give you kudos. We'll give you props. We'll give you atta babes. But you don't get a candy bar. Oh, that sucks. Okay. Here it is. You ready? Adults, you ready? I don't see many of you with your Bibles. If you have your Bible on your phone, you can put that up too. That's a little cheating, but here it is. Here it is. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Really? Oh, you got the notes, you cheaters. Better. We got a girl there. Go get a girl. Where was the boy? First boy. Oh, right there. Okay. How many adults? We got one. How many more candy bars do we have? One each? Do I have? Is that it? That's it. Give one there to there, and then one in the back. There's two. There's a boy and a girl. That girl there, boy in the back. There we go. That was our last Bible head challenge. We better give it away. Adults, good job. I saw a couple of you. Proverbs 8:17-18 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. That's a promise of God right there. Do you know that? If you seek me, you will find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. That's why choosing wisdom isn't automatic. Right? It's just not an automatic. Choosing wisdom takes practice and it takes discernment. And sometimes the wise and foolish path look almost identical. They both set themselves at high places, according to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 2, and chapters 9, verse 14. They call out loudly, Proverbs 9, 4 and 9, 16, and offer something appealing. But wisdom brings life, while folly brings ruin. And the only way to spot the difference sometimes is through spiritual training. What I mean by that is learning God's word. Getting in the book. You want to hear the voice of God? Get in the book. This is His written word to us. Get in the book. Spend time talking to God in prayer. Invite correction into your life. And don't rush decisions. Pause and reflect on them and pray over them. But here's the thing. You can't wait until you are in the heat of a moment to decide what's wise and what's not. It's too late. We need to build wisdom now so when we're ready, when that pressure comes. Does that make sense? If it makes sense, say uh-huh. Because sometimes you need to say no to good things to get greater things. What do I mean by that? In Proverbs chapter 9, right? Wisdom doesn't just warn against foolishness. She throws a feast. She's not offering this bland menu of kale and tofu. If you're a vegetarian or vegan, I'm sorry. Right? It's not this bland menu of right or wrong, but an invitation to a life that is rich, that is full, and that aligns with God's best. But I think here's where I think we get tripped up in this. We think that because something is good, we should automatically say yes. Right? For students, that can look like sports or clubs or honor societies or student council, friends groups, social media, whatever. For adults, it might be career opportunities, overtime hours, side hustles, volunteer roles, kids activities every night of the week, social obligations, constant notifications and digital noise. Individually, hear me, individually, none of these things are necessarily bad, right? In fact, most of them are genuinely good. But here's the danger. When you say yes to everything, you are, without realizing it, saying no to something else. And often, that something else is the very thing God has called you to make a priority. It is interesting to me. And this is not a dig, this is not a bash, but it's interesting to me, because I'm guilty of this too, that we get caught up in saying yes to things all the time, and then the things that we have to say no is usually the things of God. We say no to church, or we say no to a Bible study, or we say no to a serving situation, whatever it is. And the world crowds it out. And it's a danger zone, right? And before long, we get so stretched, so thin, that we're running on fumes and wondering why we feel more burned out than blessed. And in the process, the very one who gives life can get pushed to the margins of our life. Wisdom reminds us that sometimes the holiest and healthiest word you can say is no. Everybody say that with me. No. One more time. No. I have this button that my boys, I got when I was a youth minister in Libby. And it's just a battery operated thing, and it goes, no. No, 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 no. Keep pushing it. And it's always another no. And I play with the boys. Can we do, no. No, 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 no. And then if anybody ever listened to Tim Hawkins? He's a dad, and he one of his things he was talking about. My favorite thing to say to my kids is no. But I want to do it in a creative way. He goes, Bingo was his name, O-B-I-N-G, no! This old man, he had no! And he does that to his kids. And I started doing it. It's kind of fun. So, but saying no, that could be the holiest and healthiest thing that we learn to say. Not because the opportunity is bad, hear me, but because it's not the best for that season that you're in. You picking up what I'm throwing down? So let me wrap this up and leave you with a question. You ready for the question? Which voice will you follow? Because remember, both wisdom and folly are calling. Both sound convincing. Both offer something today. But only one leads to life tomorrow. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, Solomon tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom's voice is steady. It's gentle and true. She won't force her way in, But if you listen, she will guide you toward peace and blessing. Folly's voice is loud and urgent. And she promises the easy road, but it's full of traps and dead ends. And again, here's the danger. You don't always know when you're standing in a life-changing moment, right? It might feel small. A quick yes, or a small compromise, or just a reaction. But that one choice can set the course of your future. Proverbs is not just a story. Proverbs is about you and me. It's about you and me right now. Every day, hear me. Every day, voices are calling your name. Some are loud, some are subtle, some promise fun, others offer life, and they can sound alike. It's why we can't just follow our feelings. Because feelings can fool us, feelings can lie to us, feelings can sit us in a wrong way. So the question is, which voice are you going to follow? Because the voice that you choose will shape the story of your life. It will. And as I've been walking through this series, I've been giving you weekly challenges, and I have one this week. And the challenge is this, and this isn't just for adults, this is for you kids as well. Before you say yes, before you react to whatever it is, before you go with what feels easy, what feels good, pause long enough to ask, what would wisdom whisper in my ear right now? Will I thank myself for this choice tomorrow? And am I chasing the shortcut or choosing the road that lasts? And when that moment comes, big or small, take a breath. We all have to breathe, right? Pause and take a breath. And ask God, what's the wisest thing to do right now? Then trust Him. Trust Him enough to follow where He leads. Amen? Let's stand with me. Let's pray together.